What was it about last week that there were so many on a short week that we had sell out?
It's only one day immediate.
Ah. Wow. All right. What you got?
So your third downs, your defensive line a lot of times looks like Long and Barnett outside, Graham inside with either Cox or when he was hurt, Jernigan. What is it that you specifically like about that combination? How did you come upon that, especially moving Brandon inside?
Well, he's not always inside. He plays out a lot. A lot of teams have done that. I've been part of teams that have done it in the past. We've done it. We did it in the past last year in a lot of ways, just trying to get more speed on the field and be able to mix up your pass rush. And sometimes your ends are a little bit more flexible than your tackles.
Jim, what has been the key in stopping the run all season?
I don't know. I don't want to really get there yet. We're only six games. We're game six games still. We're going to be judged on 16 though. So we need to continue that vein. We let the quarterback loose a few too many times, and quarterback scrambles and designed runs. We haven't been exactly top notch on those. But it's part of what we want to do. I mean, obviously, if you can get the run stopped, that allows you to rush, and we're a rush team. So you can't put cart before the horse, chicken before the egg, whatever analogy that is. You can't rush the quarterback if the offense has confidence in being able to run the ball. So it's an important thing. It's an important part of what we do. The guys work really hard at it. We spend a lot of time on how we're going to fit runs up and things like that. And generally, we've been a pretty good tackling team. So I think all those things go into it.
The way Michael Kendricks was able to kind of step up pretty much every snap in the second half, especially at 18, he had tackles and everything. Just kind of what did he notice about his play this year?
Well, I think both of the not only Michael, but Nigel Bradham also played a big role. And a couple times this year that they've had to step up for Jordan, both of those guys have stepped in and tackled well and been active and done a lot of things for us. Mike's also been a good blitzer for us. However we get it done, that's our objective. But, those guys, and it's no different maybe than, some of the other injuries that guys have had to cover up for. They've had to go in and play, and we need to keep our standard high, and those guys have kept our standard high.
In playing off coverage, what's the importance of limiting yards after the catch?
I think in any coverage, limiting yards after the catch is important. I mean, when you're off, obviously, you're giving them a little bit of space in front, and then it's going to be hard to stop a 2 or 3 yard completion. But if you can make a quick tackle, then they're going to have a hard time continuing to get first downs and continuing to move down the field. But whether it's off coverage or zone or man, run after the catch is such a big deal in this league. Not only are receivers and tight ends and running backs really talented, and, speaking of that, this week with Thompson, I mean, he's playing at a ridiculous level, and a lot of that is coming from run after the catch. He did it to us in the opener. So, it's part of everything that you do defensively. It's not just off coverage. And so many times tackling has to do with team defense. It has to do with leverage. I think a lot of people, you look at tackling as an individual event or an individual skill. But a defender's job or defender's ability to get a guy on the ground has a lot to do with the other people around him and the leverage that they take and his ability to aggressively play through his leverage that helps him be able to, be more efficient in tackling.
Jim, Hutch and Brandon Graham were dominant in that first matchup against Ben Warren. What have you seen from the right side of their offensive line since that first matchup?
I think the Redskins have a fine offensive line. That's going to be one of our biggest challenges. I think where our success came was in those last couple drives when we really could pin our ears back. I mean, that game was tight throughout the game, And all of a sudden, those last couple of drives, we could really get back and pin our ears back and be able to rush. And I think you saw some of those things, particularly with Brandon. But, they're good across the line. They have a very good run game. They're physical. And the quarterback is hard to hem in. I mean, it goes a little bit unreported, but he's a lot like Alex Smith in my mind of his ability to keep chains moving and to be able to create some plays. That's going to have to be a big part of what we do defensively.
How much did you see Cousins play in college when you were coaching Detroit? How has he grown since he's been in this league?
My son's a big Michigan State fan, and he was like his favorite player. I was in Detroit. We had Stafford, so we really weren't, spending a lot of time. But I still remember we had guys on the staff that spoke really highly of him, said, hey, it might come a time in this draft that, we need to talk about this guy. I have a lot of respect for him in this. He wasn't a first-round draft pick. He earned his way in. He earned his way into a starting position, and he kept it. And he's produced when he's been on the field. He's made plays with his arm. He's made plays with his leg. He's a smart player. He puts them in good positions. They have a lot of checks at the line of scrimmage. Most teams do now. But he does a good job of controlling the run game. He's a good quarterback.
Is your offense a little more consistent than that season opener? You guys are able to get a lot of pressure on him.
I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll find out on Sunday. I don't know. They're a talented offense. I think that any time you lose a number of receivers that they lost, you're going to have some startup costs that were involved in that. So maybe some of that showed in the opener. But they have a lot of good skill players, and they're using both of their tight ends, really using all three of their tight ends. But they're running a lot more two tight end packages, and both of those guys are really good players, and they're hard to defend.
When you turn the film, you have a lot of times 5, 6, 7, 8 guys swinging to the ball. I'm sure it seems like all 11 are going. Is there a way to coach that, or is that just an effort thing?
I mean, obviously, it's something that you want to happen, but there's a commitment to it, and it's not just saying it in a meeting, and it's not just practicing on the field. The players have to buy into it, and I'd give credit to our guys for buying into it. They played with a lot of energy. They have all year, and that's not just in the games. They do it in practice, and they have a lot of pride, and they believe in one another. Sometimes part of swarming and having that kind of presentation is guys having fun playing with each other and guys trusting the guy next to them. And, I think that if you don't have that vibe, sometimes it's noticeable on film. So I give credit to our guys for that. We spend time on it. We talk about it. We coach it. But when it's all said and done, the players have to buy in. And I was really happy with the energy we played. You play a Thursday game. It's tough. You're short week, short preparation, everything else. But when it comes time to play the game, even if you're going on fumes, you got to find a way to have your energy and on the road against a really good team. I was proud of our guys for doing that.
And Patrick Robinson is playing at a really high level. What gave you the confidence in him with some of the struggles during training camp?
Yeah, he was working through some new techniques that we were asking him to play. He's a young veteran player. And particularly in some of the ball location stuff that he had never done before. And not everything in training camp not everything is viewed through the same lens. Like if a guy gets beat in training camp, it's not like a black mark on his resume that he can never get over. It's a guy working through a technique or working through a coaching point and how he's developing. And we never really got down on him, and he's done a good job of working through a lot of that stuff. It took a lot of mental toughness for him. He never lost his confidence. We never lost our confidence in him. He did a really good job embracing the nickel role. And not only has he played nickel pretty well for us, but he's played outside pretty well for us, including, however many plays into the opener he had to go in and play outside. So I think all that's shown, and I think He's got a good demeanor for a corner also, and that he can play with some energy, but he also doesn't get too high, he doesn't get too low. He understands the business. That's part of the benefits of having a veteran player back there. He's been a very good leader for us. I mean, a lot of our leadership goes to guys like Malcolm Jenkins and Rodney McLeod, but Patrick and Corey Graham have really added a lot of leadership for us also. Yeah, you know, the way evaluations work, nothing ever, like, stands on its own. You know, when guys are in the pro system, so to speak, they're getting evaluated, even if it's a team we don't play, even if a guy isn't a free agent. We have scouts that are evaluating him, you know, every step along the way. We have scouts upstairs that are grading guys that are first-year players that aren't going to be free agents for 3 or 4 years, and that's part of the dossier, I guess you'd say, on an individual player. So everything went into that, not only San Diego, but New Orleans and Indianapolis. And I know this. I mean, he had some injury struggles at Indianapolis, but he also had some good performances there. And we've been fortunate to be able to have him.
He mentioned that earlier in his career he struggled a bit with confidence and get being a play and praying his mind. Has he exhibited any of that early, you know, you said in camp, or was that kind of gone by the time he got there and he was able to stay mentally
calm? Well, I mean, I think it's what you said last. It's the ability to understand that this is the NFL, and it's not if you get beat, it's when. When you're deep, nobody pitches a shutout as a corner. I mean, it's incredibly difficult to do. It's how you respond. You give it up. And my sports analogies get lost on a lot of our players now because I don't even know what I'm talking about, but I used to compare it to covering Michael Jordan. I'm like, look, you can play great defense the whole game and he's still got 20. But if you don't play good defense, he's going to put 40 up on you. And now our guys know Michael Jordan as, you know, a guy that plays golf and, you know, runs a franchise. But I think that has a lot to do with it. He's been through the ringer, so to speak, and he understands. And, you know, he has the maturity and the confidence and the experience to be able to deal with those things.
When you guys traded for Tim Jernigan, there was
Well, he's made a lot of penetration plays. He's been very disruptive, and that was not an overnight success. It took him a long time to sort of have it ingrained in his DNA to attack. For so many years, well, for 3 years, he had been a, you know, sort of a lateral, you know, at the line of scrimmage type player. And he just fit what we wanted him to do, and he stuck with it. We stuck with him. He had ups and downs through training camp also. I mean, there were some times that he wasn't performing at a really high level, but he was making progress toward where he wanted him, and he's hard to handle now. And a lot of it's because of him attacking. He's an explosive player. He's disruptive. He plays with a lot of energy. The players feed off of him also. Wow.
He got off to kind of a tough start. He had an issue Florida before this season started. Then he came back to the metal detector at the airport. But is there anybody impacting the defense more right now than him? And what are kind of your feelings on him?
I think I throw him a little bit into the Tim Jernigan, you know, mold. He plays tough. He plays mean. He plays with a lot of spirit. Players feed off of him. He feeds off of the guys. You know, he's sort of, you know, stuck with it through some tough times, but we never really lost our belief in him. That game he played against Carolina was big time. And, you know, when he went down on the field, I didn't know what his injury was, but it was going to be impossible. It was going to have to be something that wouldn't allow him to walk for him not to be in that game. And I think the players felt that, made a lot of plays sideline to sideline, broke up a couple key passes. They had a major, major part in that win.
I think it's fair to say that when Jordan's out, Jordan's role in the whole is, you know, what Brad Mitchell was. Does that mean he also has now the radio helmet when Jordan's out? And if so, how's he done getting guys lined up?
He did in that game. You know, we have to hit it on the fly. We've had three different helmets out there at different times because Najee Good has played when Nigel went down. So Naj went in and he had the helmet, and you're only allowed to have one on the field at one time. So Greg Delmitros does a great job of having another one ready. It's almost like he's sitting there. It's really impressive. He's on top of things. And like when Nigel went down and Jordan went down, I mean, he was right there with the helmet. So that's part of the communication. We can signal if we don't. But it is part of that guy's role is getting everybody on the same page. And that's something that Nigel's really never had to do before. He's embraced it, and he's done a really good job with it.
So would you have changed anything with the way you used Michael this year? Did you find that it kind of took him longer to adjust to your system last year?
No, it's pretty much using him the same. Maybe he has blitzed a little bit more, just the way some of our games have gone. So, no, really not much of a change. I think just like any other player, he's grown in the system, and he's gained more confidence, and he's gained more experience in the system. And, you know, lots said of, you know, young players, rookies, the game slowing down. Well, I think that applies to, you know, veteran players, whether it's a Patrick Robinson, a Corey Graham, guys that come in that are learning a new system. I mean, I bet you it's really fast for them in the beginning, guy in first year in a program. But it's not his first year. It's his second year in the system, and he is a veteran player. And I think you're seeing the results of that.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys.